Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is verses 8 to 10 of the Gospel lesson for this day from Mark chapter 11. And many spread their garments on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the field. And those who went before and those who followed cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming. Hosanna in the highest. Here ends the text. Your fellow redeemed in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We generally associate this text with Palm Sunday, which has a certain liturgical pageantry to it. But has the scenario of this gospel lesson ever struck you as a little strange? Jesus, who was popular with the people, but out of graces with the leadership, comes riding into Jerusalem, the capital city of Judea, on a borrowed donkey, accompanied by his disciples, a mixed group by some social standards. And for some strange reason, the people take to shouting praises to him and prepare the way before him as if he were some kind of great dignitary. Doesn't the happening of that unannounced event strike you as a little unusual? Have you ever tried to get a good homiletical grasp of the text beyond some of the generalities we usually hear? We've all heard about that helpful and useful homiletical device and tool known as gospel handles. Well, this morning let me suggest to you for this text a history handle. I think that the rich color and the artful tapestry of this text can be best understood against the background of a Roman military triumphal procession. And a first century individual, living in a Roman province and informed about world events and history, might well have made a ready comparison between the two. In Republican Rome, a triumphal procession was a coveted honor for any great general. However, they were not easily come by. In order to receive the honor of a triumphal procession, certain conditions had to be met. First of all, the right to such could be granted only by the Roman Senate, the chief legislative body of the land. Secondly, the war in which the general won his victory had to be one of major proportions. It had to have been an engagement that was indeed threatening to the very life and safety of the entire Roman state. And thirdly, the army had to have won a very decisive victory. It had to have killed at least 5,000 enemy troops. Having met these conditions, the general was granted the right to be crowned with a laurel wreath, robed in a gorgeous robe, and then ride through the streets of the city in a chariot drawn by four horses to the shouts and the cries of people. The procession began in the plain of Mars, went down the various streets of Rome, and finally along the Via Sacra to the temple of Jupiter Capitolinus, where the general offered his sacrifice to the god. Consider our text in that light. The pageantry in Mark 11 certainly pales by comparison, but there are some real points of contact. Jesus' triumphal march into Jerusalem occurred under the authority of the permission of his Father, who had sent him into the world to conquer Satan and to lay down his life for our sins. When Christ began his public ministry, it was at his baptism that the voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, to whom I am well pleased. He was carrying out his work under the guise and under the direction of his Father. And in the garden, Christ would pray, Not my will, but thine be done. He was doing the will of the Father, and everything that happened according to the plan of the Father. And so, on this occasion, even before his final sacrifice on the cross, he had the right to a triumphal procession because, collectively, the victory was already his. Christ met the second condition of a triumph in doing battle with Satan. His one agent, as you recall, said to Christ, "My name is Legion, for we are many." No mean foe here the Christ was to wage war against. Indeed, it was a formidable enemy who sought the destruction and the eternal destruction of all God's creation. In fact, he threatens each one of us through our numerous and many sins with eternal damnation. This Satan was so successful and has been so successful that Scripture says, "Many are called, but few are chosen," because he has won so many over to his way. And if Satan should indeed get his way all the way, then all would be lost forever. But Christ went up against that enemy Satan, and in doing so he defeated him, and thus he met the third condition for a triumphal procession. He won a significant victory. On the cross, he would say, "It is finished. Everything is done." The entire enemy, Satan, and all his legions, they have been conquered, they are overcome, the victory is won. And before his resurrection, he would go down into the underworld to declare his victory over Satan and the dead, those who were lost. Christ had won. He had defeated all of them. He had slain, in a sense, all that Satan could bring against him. It is for this reason that Christ could celebrate a triumphal procession. And so his triumphal procession in Jerusalem on that day began his final march to the cross. In the days ahead, he would be robed in purple, but in a jeering and not in an honorary manner. He would be crowned, but not with laurels, but with a crown of thorns. He would finally offer up a sacrifice, but not in a temple, but out on Calvary. And he would offer a sacrifice not of animals, not by slaying in a sacrificial way one of the vanquished, but he would offer himself up in sacrifice. That meek, obedient lamb of Isaiah would meet his end on the cross for us. When you compare the events, these two events, the text comes across as being much more alive in vivid detail. It comes across as being much more alive as one of the greatest pageants that has ever been enacted. The richness of the law gospel motifs are everywhere against the panoramic biblical backdrop of this event. The fact that Christ could celebrate such an occasion is the occasion for us a most effective one. It occasions for us the most joyful reaction that we can possibly have. For Christ, in riding into Jerusalem, is saying that sin, the devil, and the world have all been overcome. And the figure on that donkey, he's our victorious general. He's our savior. And now it's our turn. It's our time to shout our hosannas and to cry out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that is coming. Hosanna in the highest." Christ's triumph is also our triumph in what he has done for us, for through him we live into all eternity. May God grant it for his son's sake. Amen.